Okay, so tonight's shiur is sponsored by Gail and Herb Kraut to commemorate the yahrzeit of Gail's maternal grandfather, Chaim Eliyahu Ben Dov, who was killed by the Nazis in November 1939. Yahrzeit was just yesterday, we think, right? So his neshama should have an aliyah. I guess it's a fitting topic for a yahrzeit. We're in the we've got up to the point of life cycle events where things aren't as joyous and happy as we were talking about weddings and brisim and things like that. But I think these are still important things to talk about. There's a general taboo against learning Hilchos Avelos. People don't like to learn Hilchos Avelos. It's it's bad mazel. And in many yeshivos, they don't learn Hilchos Avelos unless they have to. So if you're practicing, you're to become a rabbi, so you have to learn Hilchos Avelos. But otherwise, if you're not, then people stay away from it. They don't want to learn it until they have to. One day, we'll have to learn Hilchos Avelos, but people stay away from it. So I'm not going to talk too much about Hilchos Avelos because there is that sensitivity to it. But I feel like these issues are not Avelos per se. Really, these issues that we're going to talk about have very little to do with family members and more just to do with people who are nifter. And sometimes, we have to know how to deal with people, even if they're not our family members, but we might be in contact with them, we might be around, we might be involved. So I think it's important to have that recognition. There's a very interesting pasuk in Kohelis. I actually last night I spoke to the Chevra Kadisha, so I started with this pasuk. It's a fascinating pasuk, and there's a comment of the Sefer Chasidim that's also a very interesting application. But the pasuk says in Kohelis, Perek Hey, which is source number one, Kol Umas Sheba Kein Yelech, that just like a person comes, that's how a person goes. And so often, I made this comment, yesterday, last night, but so often, when you see people, in the later stages of their lives, very often there are many similarities to the early stages of their lives. The way that they come into this world is very often the way that they leave the world in terms of the care that's needed, and reliance on other people and things like that. Last time we spoke about the tahara, which was an interesting aspect of it, a fascinating application. And again, this, we have to take this a little bit with a grain of salt. But the Sefer Chasidim writes in source number two, Yesh tzadikim kishemisbakshim lamus. He says there are those tzadikim that when they're about to die, right, when they're about to die, not lim yadehim, they wash their hands, megavaser, right? They want to purify themselves. They want to purify themselves before they go. And he writes, lekach rochtim yadehim kilo umas sheba kein yelich, based on this pasuk in Kohelis. It's just like you come into the world, you wash yourself, you clean yourself up, so too as you're about to exit this world. Kisha nolad roch tzimosa ukishameis roch tzimosa. So, we applied this lesson in terms of the tahara, but it's an interesting perspective in terms of the tzaddikim who are literally on their deathbed. Now, obviously, many people that are on their deathbed, besides for the fact that, we're not all tzaddikim, but many of us, many people that are on their deathbed are not quite in a position to be washing their hands or to be, very often they're not lucid enough to know what's going on or to understand or to appreciate it. Sometimes they're drugged and things like that. So obviously there are many different things. I mean, you should see some of the things that are brought in the Sfarim in terms of, tefilos, the people that you're supposed to say before you pass away. We'll get to, but I'm talking about like Tehillim. There's certain Tehillim you're supposed to say, and certain Psukim you're supposed to say, and certain Tfilos you're supposed to say. So you have to keep in mind like these things. That's nice. It's all nice and good. Number one, if you're, if you're able to say it, if you have the mental awareness and the peace of mind, to be involved and to say these things. So certainly maybe the tzaddikim, who are at that level. And when they die, they're, maybe the ones that are lucid enough can do this. But obviously, this is something that's difficult for most of us to relate to. Yeah.
And I don't know. You said you're gonna do vidui later.
Yeah.
But and Tehillim, you say when you're with the mace. But I'm in the olive room with one person, other than being a godparent, who died, and they told me to say anabakoa.
Yeah, there's many, that's what I'm saying, there's many, many different things that are brought in the different sfarim to say, you know, many different things to say. And again, we're talking, you know, there's some things that the person who's dying is supposed to say, some things that the people who are there are supposed to say. You know, listen, you know, it's, again, you know, I'm talking about more about the person who's on the deathbed. And again, you know, what they're going to be capable of doing is remains to be seen. But there are certain things. One thing that's very important, and this is halacha that I think it's important to talk about, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this, and it's something that people, you know, people come in contact with, and not many people are aware of this. But at the very, very last stages of life, the person has the status of what we call a goses. Okay, goses is a person who's literally dying, you know, on their, literally, you know, the last breaths. Exactly how to define that is not 100% clear, but, you know, a person who's, you know, about to die is called a goses. So besides for the fact that a goses is considered a mukta, and on Shabbos, you know, you can't move a person who's a goses, you can't, you know, you shouldn't really be touching them, and things like that, but that's Shabbos. But even during the week, it's you know, the Maseches Machos writes that a goses is alive. Okay, a goses is alive. If you look at source number 3, ha-goses ha-reu ke-chai l'chol davar ad shasha yamus. Right, a person who's a goses is considered alive for everything, until the point where they actually pass away. Until that point where they actually pass away. But until that point, they're 100% alive. Now, that might sound obvious to you. Right? It might sound obvious. Of course they're alive. But says the Maseches Machos that because they're alive, you have to be very careful. Why? Because they're at a very fragile stage of their life. Right? The end of life is very, very fragile. It's very delicate. And says the Sefer Hasidim, you know, one wrong move and one thing that you do, you can hasten the person's death. And that's something that, chas v'shalom, we don't want to do. We want the person to go naturally at the time that's right. And even hastening it by a few minutes is considered you know, killing the person. So the Maseches Machos goes through all these things that you almost can't even touch the person. You know, you can't, you know, you shouldn't move any of the limbs, and, you know, you shouldn't put anything under them, don't put anything on top of them, just leave them. You know, basically, ein mazizin oso in the second line, don't move them, don't wash them off, don't, you know, don't do anything, basically, until the point where they die. And if you look at the second to last line, where it's underlined, hanogea bo'u mezizo, hareu shofech damin. A very strong language by the Maseches Machos, that a person who's at that stage of a goses, you know, if you start moving them around, you start doing things to them, you know, you're a shofek damim. Why? Because you can hasten the person's death, and that's not something we want to do. We don't, you know, even a matter of minutes, even a matter of moments, we don't want to hasten the death. The death will come at the proper time. You know, we don't hasten, you know, we believe in the sanctity of life, even momentary life, even chayesha. We believe in the sanctity of that life, and we don't want to mess around even with a few moments of life. So we're very, very careful not to do anything that might change, you know, the person's status. In fact, the moshal at the end of that Maseches Machos, so the Brisa, Rabbi Meir haya moshal l'ner shehu metaftef. He says, you imagine it's like a candle that's dripping. Kevan shenaga bo adam miyad kibahu. What happens? Sometimes you move a candle, you know, it goes out. All of a sudden, it goes out. You move it the wrong way, you know, it's a flame. It's very sensitive, so it might go out. Kach kolama atzim is ene hagoses. Here, the Brisa talks about even closing the eyes of the goses. Just, you know, putting your hand over the person's eyes just to close their eyes. Even that shouldn't be done, because, you know, you never know, that could hasten something. Malin alav kiluhu shomet es nishmaso. Very strong language. So it's important that when a person, you know, is around, a person who's a goses, and, you know, again, whether you're a relative or whether you're on hatzalah or you're a doctor or you're just visiting, and you happen to be there when the person is dying, you have to be very careful. Once they're at that stage, just stand back, you know, let you know, nature, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu take his course, and don't, you know, and don't touch, don't move, don't be involved, and let it happen at the natural time.
What about treating the goses?
Oh, okay. So treating, obviously, we do, right? Treating, obviously, we do. And as far as I'm saying, that even though the goses is at a point where the person is dying, but treating that person, if you feel like there's something that it can accomplish, obviously, if there's nothing that it can, you know, if you're at the point where it's not going to accomplish anything, so then no, you know, nobody's, you know, there's no mitzvah to do things, you know, if that are not going to be, that everybody knows are not going to be meaningful. So, but if there's a chance that something can happen, so you try, you know, you try. And if through your trying something happened, you know, that's okay. You were trying to save the person, so you try your best. But again, that's a judgment call. It's a very tricky, you know, these are very tricky decisions, obviously, to know, you know, when to pull back and when to treat. These are very, very hard decisions. And the Ramah, also in Shulchan Aruch, in source number 4, when he's talking about some of these halachos, so he writes in source number 4, V'chein asu li grom l'meisha yamus mehera, you can't cause someone to die early. Kigon mishu goseis man aruch v'lo yuchal li'parein, right? Imagine, you know, it's happened sometimes. People are goseis for a long period of time. They're dying for days and days and days, you know, and meanwhile, they're still hanging on. Asu li hishamit hakar v'akeses mitachtav, he says you can't even take a pillow out from under them. Mikoach she'omrin, you know, the different people, you know, say different things about, you know, it will help or will not help, the pillow, the not the pillow. And then if you look at the underline, and here again, I'm just bringing this in for, you know, this is a general concept. This is something very, very difficult to apply, and this is something that's really a case by case situation to know what falls into this category. But the Rama writes, "Avalim yesham davar shegorein ikuv yitzias hanefesh." He says, if there's something that is preventing the nefesh from leaving, something that's preventing the nefesh from leaving, kigon, and he brings a very interesting example from our perspective. Sheyesh samach l'oso bayis kol dofek kigon chotev etzim. There's like a knocking noise or a chopping noise that's coming from nearby. O sheyesh melach alashono ve'ilu ma'akim yitzias hanefesh. Again, these are not things that we understand. These are not medical things that we understand. But you know, he talks about this. Salt on the mouth, salt on the tongue, or you know, or the Rama. This is the Rama talking. Yeah, or a chopping noise nearby, and somehow this, you know, is keeping the person alive, even though the person should really be dying. But somehow there's something that's keeping the person alive. Mutar lahasiro misham. You're allowed to remove that. De'im bo zemase klal. You're not doing. There's no action here. El shemesir hamoneya. All you're doing is removing that which is preventing the person's death. Now you have to be very careful here, because obviously unplugging a machine is not this. Right? Unplugging a machine is a maisa biyadayim. That's something that's keeping the person alive. It's not just preventing his death, but it's keeping the person alive when you unplug that machine or you remove, you know, the whatever. So that's a maisa biyadayim of hastening the person's death, and that we don't do. And that's why we get into these tricky shilas. You know, people who are on ventilators and things like that, in terms of taking them off these things, but you know, and it's a good question what exactly the Rama is referring to and what, you know, would fall into under this category. Bisman is that it's not so clear, but the concept exists. Yeah.
So if like someone was like crushed under a car and that was just keeping them alive temporarily, you know, sometimes like the organs were staying in, but once the car moved,
maybe.
You know what I mean?
Maybe. I'm not 100% sure, but maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
The
person is, you can't, for all practical purposes, the person is dead. The only reason why we're keeping them alive is to harvest the organs.
Oh, okay, that's something different. That's keeping them alive to harvest the organs. That's different. He's talking about a situation where they're just being kept alive, you know, just by temporarily by some situation. Again, these are very tricky things. This is something that really, you know, you have to evaluate case by case, and it's very tricky what, you know, to apply this from, because what's considered, and you're talking about also these are shilas of ritzicha. You know what I mean? These are very weighty things. Hold on one second. So it's very tricky in terms of what, you know, what's called meiser monea, what's called just removing something that's keeping in there, what's called a meiser. It's not so clear. That's a good question.
What's the Rama referring to when he said
I don't know.
Or like salt on the
top. I mean, I don't know. I'm not
Does
sure.
Does he say where he gets it from?
Yeah.
I mean, is there my...
Yeah, Hagos Al-Fasi.
From the riff.
I mean, Hagos on the riff.
Yeah.
Hagos on the riff, so...
Okay. You know, Joseph doesn't bring any of this down.
I don't remember 100%. I mean, but it's likely if the Rama's bringing it, then probably not. Probably the Dark Emotion brings it. You know, usually it comes from the Dark Emotion, but it comes from the Rishonim. So so again, this is like the beginning of a kula, but it's not clear how to apply the kula. So it's, you know, you have to be very careful, because if you misapply it, it's shvichus damim. you know, you're hastening a death, and it's shvichos davim. So it's important to recognize that this exists, but at the same time to apply it is not so simple.
Death in this case is hard.
Good question. Not for this year.
Yeah.
Not for this year. But not for this year. Yeah. Let's assume. Let's assume. Okay. So the question was asked before. What about treating a goseis? So it's actually interesting. The Birkei Yosef writes that that not only can you treat a goseis, but you can actually still be mechal Shabbos for a goseis. Right. The Birkei Yosef writes in source number 5. What in the mechal and Shabbos ala goseis? Because even if it means, you know, prolonging the person's life for a number of hours, so you know we take that very seriously in Judaism. You know, we don't believe, some of you have experience with this and I have experience with this. You know, unfortunately contemporary culture in medicine is that once the person is not, you know, a functioning person in the capacity that we perceive them as functioning, so you know, let's cut costs to the medical system. Let's cut costs to your pocket, and we'll just let's move on. You know, unfortunately, that's the vision out there. That's the perspective out there in much of the medical field. The person is what people would call a vegetable, or you know, Rahman al-Islam, the person is not, you know, not breathing on their own, or not functioning, not aware, so to speak. You know, so just okay. Let's move on. Rahman al-Islam. Again, that's not our perspective. We believe in the sanctity of life. Life per se. It doesn't have to be that the person is running and jumping and talking. It's a person is alive. Chiyus itself, the life itself, is we believe is something sacred and something that we want to preserve and we want to try to prolong as much as possible. A person who is here. First, let's talk about the person who's there. First, the person who's witnessing this, and then we'll talk about the person who's dying. Let's do the reverse. Let's talk about the person who's dying first. So, if you look at source number 6, so some of you mentioned Vidoy before. So that comes from from the Ramban. Basically, the Ramban's girsa, his understanding of another brayso on Maseches Machos. And here also, you have to be very careful. I'll tell you, this is a Masa Shahaya, a true story. I went, somebody wasn't well, and they were in a hospital. Baruch Hashem, they were stable, they were getting better, but they were not well. And I went to visit them. I try to visit people in the hospital. So I went to visit them, and I walked into the room, and they said, "Rabbi, I see you. I think of Vidoy." So I said, "No, you're getting better. Don't think of Vidoy. Think of you'll be on your feet in a week." So I guess I have that effect on some people sometimes. But the Ramban does say in Torah Savayis that this is something that people should be thinking about. You know, but this person wasn't dying. I think they were, half joking when they said it, but it was like a scary joke. But it's something that a person should be thinking about. But at the same time, it's interesting that the Ramban is very sensitive, and the Maseches Machos is very sensitive, that we don't want the person, this can very much negatively affect the person. Right. You know, all of a sudden the person is doing okay, or he thinks he's doing okay, or she thinks they're doing okay, and all of a sudden you come and say, okay, let's say Vidoy. Well, what is that supposed to mean? Right? What did the doctor tell you that they didn't tell me? And all of a sudden they start getting depressed. And we know that once a person gives up mentally, it's not going to be long before their body gives way. So it's important to make sure that the person's spirits stay up from a halachic perspective. It's important to make sure, and we're going to see some halachos, real halachos about this, that we have to be careful to make sure that the person is in good spirits and not getting depressed and not just thinking that the end is that the end has come when it really hasn't. But nevertheless, Maseches Machos writes in source number 6, the Ramban quotes it, "Not alamus omrim lo hisvada ad shelo tamus." We say, listen, you should do vidui. You're not dying, right? You're not dying, but it's important to do vidui. And on all these languages, harishin isvada velomeisu, plenty of people do vidui and they live for many good years. You try to couch it in a positive term. And many people just die without doing vidui. So don't think that vidui is just the step before death. That's not the case. But you try to get the person to do vidui. And again, it's a very tricky thing because You know, yeah, a person has to be in the right frame of mind, you know, to be told this. And many people, you know, today, they hear the word vidoy and that's it. They're done. You know, they think the end has come. I'm sorry? Chassan says, yeah, well, we have to see how well that goes over in the, you know, in the hospital room. But yeah, you know, it's a very tricky thing to apply. Obviously, in this kind of context, better safe than sorry, right? Better not to say anything at all. And, you know, better the person should, Rahman al-Islam, die without saying vidoy. You know, it's worse things, will, you know, worse things happen than chas v'shalom, you saying something about vidoy and negatively affecting the person's spirit. So, you know, we don't want to be too much of a tzaddik on their account. The halacha takes this very seriously. And here also we say, echaram, in the next place where it's underlined, echaram isvada bepeu belivo, it doesn't, even if the person can't verbalize it, but even if the person just thinks about it, you know, thinks the vidoy. But that's a very important thing. If the person is holding there, that's an important thing. It's very interesting that the Rabban continues. The Rabban says you have to be careful who you tell these things to in terms of other people who are around, other people who are in the room. If people are going to get very emotional, you don't want them there. Right, people are going to start crying out and start screaming in the room. You don't want them there. Don't tell them these kind of things. You know, or get them out of the room. You know, and this is a Ramban. This is not like a doctor's office or a social worker talking. This is a Ramban. You know, you don't want these people there. You don't want people screaming and yelling and carrying on. Not only that, mace lo mace ein modino so shemetitarev daito alav. Right, if a person is sick and one of their relatives dies, and this happens sometimes, you know, you have a person in the hospital, an older person in the hospital, and their sister dies, you know, their brother dies, or something like that. Don't tell them, says the Ramban. You don't tell them that. Why? Because that's going to negatively impact their own health. You don't want to do anything that's going to compromise their health, their mental well-being, which will in turn impact their physical well-being. And says the Ramban, certainly, you don't do anything in advance of the person actually dying. So don't do it. Don't start doing kriya and start crying and, you know, giving hespedim. You know, don't start doing any of these things. And anybody who comes and starts to do these things, he says, you know, get them out of there. Quiet them down and get them out, because you don't want. He said the last thing you want to do is to affect this person's spirits. That's gonna hasten the person's death. That's the last thing you want to do. You have to be very, very careful to maintain, you know, an upbeat atmosphere and a positive atmosphere. Again, assuming that the person is lucid and the person knows what's going on. But you know, want to always maintain a positive feeling. And, you know, because you never know, you know, what positive feeling the person can use to get through something.
So how do you determine when it's appropriate or not to have someone say vidoy, for example? An older person who
right.
has cancer and is
right.
going to surgery and maybe won't make it.
Right, okay.
Or maybe will make it. That's
right,
what you're doing.
So it's a good question. And it's really a judgment call. It's really a judgment call, and it's going to depend on every situation and on every patient. Because you have some patients that, honestly, they'll never be at a place mentally where they can say vidui. And you have some patients that will be fine with it.
Yeah, there are patients that have asked us to say
vidui. Yeah. So some people are okay with it. Some people are, you know, it all depends on the person's frame of mind. Some people are okay with it and some people are not. You have to, you know, the family and the Rav and whoever's in touch with the person has to have the, you know, has to have the nuance to recognize where's the person holding. You know, physically, where are they holding in terms of their health? And you know, you don't need to say vidoy if the person's gonna, you know, if it's very, very likely the person's gonna, you know, turn the corner and get better. There's no reason to say vidoy. But if that's not the case, then you have to ascertain, well, how is this going to affect the person? You know, how's their mental state? Is this the type of person that can handle this? And usually the family will be able to tell, you know, no, you know, this person cannot say vidoy. You can't say a word about vidoy to this person. They're gonna lose it. They're gonna, you know, that's gonna be it. And some people, you know, they have no problem with it. And they're, you know, some people are ready to go, and you know, let's say vidoy, and let's get the show on the road, you know. And it all depends on the person's perspective, and that's something that the family and, you know, and whoever's involved has to make that decision.
When you say planning aspect,
yeah,
that's in front of them.
I'm sorry?
That's in front of the people.
What's in front?
Planning and talking about planning.
Okay, so we'll talk about that.
Some
no,
are,
right?
Know
no,
away
yeah. Generally not. We'll see in a second. Generally not. We don't talk about anything like that in front of them.
No,
but we'll
not
see.
In front of them. I mean.
Yeah. Oh, not in front of them. You yeah. can plan. Yeah, I'm saying. Of course. Yeah, you don't
it's
have
just
to.
Just not to upset them.
Correct.
Don't
correct.
Them,
correct.
Right?
Yes. Correct. Yeah. 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 Okay. Now in terms of the that's in terms of the person who is dying, and we'll come back to that in a little bit. In terms of the people who are there. Okay, and sometimes you find yourself in a situation like this where you're in the room or you're there when a person's dying. So besides for the sensitivity that the Ramban just expressed, that you have to be sensitive to making sure to maintain a positive atmosphere and make sure the person is not going to get depressed based on your reactions. But also the Sfarim say you have to also, this is a time for you to recognize that, I have to think about life, think about priorities in life. When you're there, this is one of the most, this is a very powerful moment of life where you have someone who's alive, who's about to pass away. It's something very significant. It's something very momentous. It's something that should cause a person to take a minute and to think about what life is and what life is about and what the priorities in life should be and how we're living our lives. And, as far as I'm saying, it's a time to do tshuva. When you're there at the time of a petira, it's the time to do tshuva, time to think about, how you can better yourself and the people around you. Certainly, the Sfarim say it's not the time for a sicha betela. It's not the time to schmooze about shoot the breeze or schmooze about the weather or the Knicks or whatever is. Again, unless the person wants to talk about that. If the patient wants to talk, by all means, talk about whatever they want to talk about because that'll make them feel better. But just among the people who are there to just shoot the breeze, it's not appropriate. This is a moment of kedusha. It's a very powerful thing. Again, there are certain tehillim and certain things that people have a custom of saying. Joe mentioned before on a bekoach, but there's other things, different tefilos and kapilach of tehillim. They bring also, a person who's there at the time of a petira, should say Yigdal and Adon Olam, Ana B'Koach, Alkein Nekavalecha. These are very, lofty prayers. So we say them, every day. But we know on Yom Kippur they occupy a more prominent role because these are very holy prayers, they're very holy tefillos, and that's why we say them then. The Sfarim also talk about the Gesher HaChaim brings many of these. That's the sefer I'm using here. The Gesher HaChaim brings many of these minhagim. There are many different Sfarim that talk about these types of minhagim. But he talks about the fact that we know that a person when a person is about to die, so you say Shema Yisrael. Okay, now that's for the person dying, but it's also for the people standing around. It's also a good time to say Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael is the ultimate Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, where we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is King. So there's no more fitting time to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingdom than when a person is leaving this world. Some of the Sfarim say that a person should say afterwards Baruch Shem Kivor Machasoli Olam Vod three times, followed by Hashem Hu HaElokim seven times, which reminds us of Ne'ila, right? As the gates are closing, these are the things that we say, at Ne'ila. So it's also, this is a little bit of a Ne'ila here. This is a personal Ne'ila, Ace Ne'ila Shar. That's in terms of the people there. It's interesting. The Kobo brings in source number 7 that Kevan Shenata Adam Lamus Ein Rasha'in Li Pared Mimenu. You can't leave a person alone if they are dying. If a person's dying, you can't leave them alone. Don't walk out of the room. If there are other people there, that's fine. But if it's just you and the person, you have to stay there with them. Kedei Shelo Teitzei Nafsho Kishuhu Yechidi, right? V'yamus Be'agmas Nefesh. He says, because a person who dies alone, there's a degree of agmas nefesh involved in that. You're leaving this world and there's no one there with you. There's agmas nefesh. So he says that you should be there with the person to prevent the agmas nefesh. Menesha nefesh mishto memes, b'shashi hiyotza min aguf. Right? This is things happen when the neshama leaves the body. It's a time when you should be there to support the person. As they're dying. So as much as sometimes a person's there, they're not comfortable, and they just want to run out of the room. But that's not what we do. In terms of planning, just to get back to that, if you look at source number 8 on the second side of the page, so he writes this is again in Maseches Machos that we don't do anything of avelos in korin vein cholz vein maspidin. You don't start doing kriya. You don't start crying or giving hespedim while the person's still alive, because again that will affect the person. Don't start like bringing in the aron. Open the door and bring in the aron and let's get things ready here. So we can get things moving. Don't do that. And the Ramban writes in source number 9, klalo shel davar kol shu mishum iske ames ein osin lavachet etzin avshel. You can't do anything. Any preparations that have to do with the person once he has passed, You don't do any of that until the person has already passed in front of them. In front of them. Right? As the Beis Yosef explains in number 10, V'kol zeh einu ela alacholim kidei shelo titaref daitam aleihem. Right? The point is, because you don't want them to get upset. You don't want them to, you don't want their mental state to be compromised. So that's why we don't do anything in front of them. Obviously, sometimes you don't want to make arrangements the last minute. So sometimes you see a person dying, you're going to make arrangements. Go into a different room, close the door, make sure that you're out of earshot, the person can't hear, and do what you have to do, outside so that the person can't hear. But we certainly, chas v'shalom, don't want to do anything that's going to affect them in any way. It's interesting that the poskim say, the poskim say here, that obviously someone who's well can make whatever arrangements they want. Meaning, if you want to make arrangements, you want to buy karka in Eretz Yisrael, you want to buy a kever. There's no problem with you calling on the phone and buying a kever for yourself. People buy land for themselves. They buy the, that's not a problem. We're not worried about that. We're worried about the person who's sick hearing what's going on. But a person who's healthy, who just wants to make arrangements in advance, there's nothing wrong with that. You're allowed to do that if you want to do that. So
or if they're sick, but it doesn't bother them. Some people are aware,
Yeah, again, it's a hard thing to say, because sometimes people say things don't bother them and they really do bother them. Or all of a sudden, you say it.
Appropriate. We're so makbid on, before a child is born, you shouldn't go and buy a shul.
Right.
A person's alive, we just finish saying, don't do any of these things.
Right.
Don't touch him even. Don't make him hasty.
Right.
So, why are we not worried
it's
about
not, yeah, it's
thing?
Not, again... When it comes to a baby,
while the person is still,
when it comes to a baby, there's more of an ayin hara aspect. Ayin hara has to do with jealousy, so there's more of an ayin hara aspect that people see us buying things, that can cause a little bit of jealousy, and then the baby's not yet here. You want the baby to be born healthy. There's when it comes to this, it's less of an ayin hara issue. No, there's no jealousy involved here. Ayin hara really has to do with jealousy, so there's no real ayin hara issue here. This is really just a matter of affecting the person. If you want to make arrangements, you can be the type of person that cherev chada munachas al tzavaro shel adam. Even if there's a sharp sword by the person's neck, we're still doubting and we're still doing it, and that's fine. But at a certain point, we recognize that listen, it's a gatenisht. It's not gonna go. The person's not gonna get better, and the person is dying, is actively dying. At that point, so a person, you want to make arrangements, it's okay, but do it in a different room, do it in a different place. Again, if you don't want to do it, there's no chiv to do this. We're just saying the real problem with doing it is doing it where it's going to affect the person who's not well.
Sometimes the cholo will initiate. Okay, I have my papers here. Doesn't want people to too much.
Again, if the cholo is if he's initiating. I wouldn't say are you okay if we talk about planning? I wouldn't say that.
Say, by the way, you should know my safe deposit box or my.
Okay, right.
Drawer.
Yeah.
I have
if
the,
he brings things up,
the,
yeah,
the
right.
For all my papers.
If he brings things up, that's fine. He brings things up, that's fine. But we shouldn't be initiating these kind of conversations. And listen, sometimes these things are important. I've been involved in cases where the kids they didn't know what the arrangements were. And all of a sudden, and meanwhile, now the person is nifter, and they're making their own arrangements. And meanwhile, this person has been paying for years and years and years into a society. I was involved in a situation once where the kids had no clue, and they made funeral arrangements. And all of a sudden, they get the bill, and they're all confused. What's going on here? And meanwhile, they contact the society. The society says, "You didn't use us. You got to call us." So sometimes it's important to be on the same page. And certainly, parents should be sharing with their kids in advance. What the plans are, ultimately in terms of caring for them and things like that. So they can have confusion and mishaps like that, and then you have to, and then it's then it's months and weeks of phone calls and paperwork and trying to sort things out and trying to recoup the money if you can. It's a big headache. So sometimes it is important. It's important for everybody to be on the same page, but at the same time, you don't want to be the one to initiate these conversations. Once the person has passed away, so then there are certain minhagim that are timeless minhagim. We do light a candle. We know the pasuk in Mishlei tells us in source number 11, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, that the neshama of a person is likened to a candle. In fact, there are those that have the minhag. I wasn't aware of this until maybe I think about 6-7 years ago when I saw this, that there are some people who will never blow out a candle. Never blow out a candle. Right? Why? Ner Hashem Nishma Sada. Candle represents an neshama. So they'll never blow out a candle because it represents an neshama. So I've seen people, you know, they have all these like creative ways, you know, if they want to, you know, it could be, you know, we pour the wine over, we don't want to blow it, you know. Because our neshima is ruach malula comes from ba'ipach be'apav nishmas chayim. That's our neshama. You know, the breath is the neshama that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, blew into us. We don't want to use that neshama to extinguish a candle, which is likened to a neshama. So people, you know, I've seen people like on a yahrzeit candle, they'll just put something on top of it so the oxygen runs out, and then the candle will go out by itself. So, you know, there's different practices. But that's why when a person passes away, we light a candle. We do it during Shiva, but even before Shiva, even when the person passes away, we light candles. A lot of different minhagim brought there. Some I saw in the Gesher Achaim, he brings minhagim that some people light 26 candles around the mace, because 26 is Shem Havaya, so it's, so some people light 26 candles. Again, that's, that's not the general practice. I mean, general practice is to light one candle. There's also a minhag al pi kabbalah. I can't explain it, but it's a minhag al pi kabbalah to open a window. And when the person's nifter, to open a window, al pi kabbalah. I remember hearing, you know, years ago that there was I think an unsolved murder. Maybe some of you have heard of it in Long Beach, right? And this was exactly. So this was I think this was in the like what was it, in the 80s? 80s. In the 80s. So there was a bachur who was killed in the Masifta dorm. Okay, in the 1980s, whatever it was, and you know, the guys walked in and they found this. They found this guy, and he was and everything was kiddus ukidin. And that's why it was like so. It spooked everybody out because it wasn't just a murder. It was a murder, and then all the minhagim were done. There was a candle there lit. The window was open. It was like a very right. We'll talk about that. You know, the body was on the floor. It was like a very, very spooky thing. I think to this day, I think it's still unsolved, if I'm not mistaken.
This father just gave an interview too.
Oh really?
Yeah, this week.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So it's but we'll see. But these minhagim are real minhagim. You know, one of the things that's done as soon as the person dies, is that they cover the person with a sheet. They cover the person with a white sheet or white cloth. One of the reasons looking in the face of a mace is not considered to be a positive thing. The Gemara in Horio says in source number 12, Asarat Varim Kashim Lulimu, that there are 10 things that make it difficult for a person to learn. One of them is Amistakel Bifnei Hames. So whatever the reasons are, but it's clear from the Gemara that looking in the face of a mace is not something positive. You know, we Jews don't have viewings, right? We don't have these things where we just go and, you know, people just look. You know, that's not what we do. Obviously, if a family member needs to identify the body, that's a different story. That you need to do that. But otherwise, we don't mistake with the mace. It's not something that we generally want to be doing, and that's why the mace is covered. The mace is also placed down on the floor. It's interesting if you skip down to 16, 16. So the shach writes, miyad moridin oso manichin oso la'aretz. Right away they take the mace and they put the mace down on the floor. They actually face him with his feet facing the doorway. Okay. And the reason why, it's interesting, a lot of these things are, you know, based on Kabbalah, based on different ideas. The reason why they put them on the floor is interesting. It seems to be, at least from the Shach, and again, there might be other, you know, Kabbalistic ideas as well, but from the Shach, it seems like a very practical reason. Why? Ki dvarim chamin masrichin u'maspichin oso. Because once the person has died, so any heat is going to speed up the decomposition, you know, process. So that's something that you want to avoid. So the reason why you put them on the ground is because the ground is cooler. So the ground is cooler, that will keep the body cool, and that will slow down the process. That's why in Eretz Yisrael, actually, they have a whole thing where they don't put anything down underneath the body. The body has to be directly onto the cover. They actually undress the body. They keep the body covered, but they undress the body, and they keep the body directly with nothing, you know, nothing in between because of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. And Chutz Laretz, where we don't have the same Kedusha, so we do put something down underneath. But it's that idea, it's a little bit of a practical idea to keep the body cool. It's interesting that if you look at the Gemara has what sounds like a very clear halacha, even though we don't practice this today. But the Gemara says in source number 13, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ha'omer al ames b'shas itzias neshama. If a person is present at the time of, looks like we died here. If a person is present, no pun intended, if a person is present at the time of Yetzias Neshama, so the halacha is Chayev Likroa. You have to do Kriya, even if you're not a relative. Right? A person who's there at the time of Yetzias Neshama, you know, you have to do Kriya. It's a very clear Gemara. Lemazda Doma Le Sefer Torah Shenisraf Shechayev Likroa. So just like a Sefer Torah, Rachmana Litzon, a Sefer Torah is burned, you have to do Kriya. So a human being loses their life, human being, the neshama leaves the body, you have to do Kriya.
That'd be tough for a doctor.
It'd be very tough for a doctor, or for a Hatzalah member, or, you know, or things like that. Yeah. Run out of shirts, exactly. So the minhag is not like this. It's very interesting. Actually, I actually got a call. My sister-in-law was visiting. She lives here. She happened to be visiting Eretz Yisrael when my wife's grandmother was Nifteres, and she was there. She was in the room when it happened. No, she wasn't planning on it. She just went to Eretz Yisrael. She went to visit her, and she happened to be in the room at the time of the Patira. And she called me from Eretz Yisrael, and you know, asking should she do Kriya, and I learned the Gemara and I learned the Shulchan Aruch, and it says you do Kriya. I started looking around just to be sure, and the Sfarim say that nowadays the minhag is not to. It's interesting. Nowadays the minhag is not to do this. Obviously, relatives still do Kriya at the Levites, different times, different times in terms of minhagim when to do Kriya. You know, some people do it at the Patira, some people do it at the Levaya, some people do it at the Kfura, the different minhagim as to when to do it, but that's for the relatives. But other people who just happen to be there, even though the Gemara says very clearly, Chayev Likroa, we don't do this nowadays. You know, the minhag is not like this. You know, whether it's because, you know, it's so common and we're with people and, you know, what would doctors do and things like that, you know, but the minhag is not to do this. If you find yourself ever at a time when a person is nifter, our minhag is not to do kriya. It's interesting. The Shulchan Aruch, we know that right before we do kriya, the relatives do kriya. We make the bracha of dayan ha'emes. Right now, it's important to recognize. We'll talk maybe about levayas in a little bit. You know, maybe next week. But the bracha of dayan ha'emes is not a bracha on the kriya. Right? It's not a birchas ha'mitzvah on the kriya. It's a bracha. The bracha of Dayan HaEmes is a bracha that we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the true judge. We happen to do that before the Kriya, but it's not a bracha on the Kriya. But if you look at the Shulchan Aruch in source number 14, Shulchan Aruch writes, Meis Aviv, Mevarach Dayan HaEmes. So if a person's father dies, you make the bracha of Dayan HaEmes with Shemu Malchus, right? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Dayan HaEmes. The Magen Avram writes that not only your father in source number 15, but he writes, V'hu Adin Shar Adam Kasher, U'mikol Shekin Tamil Chacham, anybody. Anybody who's a good person, certainly a Talmud Chacham, but anybody who's a normal good person, you know, a person should make a Dayan HaEmes when they hear about the death. He writes, "V'ha'olam na'agula omro below Shem Umalchus." Now, our minog, we know, we don't make a bracha b'Shem Umalchus. We don't make a bracha with Shem Hashem when we hear about a person dying. What do we say? Baruch Dayan HaEmes. Right? We leave out the Shem Hashem, but the Magen Avraham writes, "V'eino nachum." He says, you should make it with Shema Malchus. You hear about somebody dying, you should make it with Shema Malchus. Now, we don't do this, right? The Arminag is, you know, Arminag is still like the Magen Avraham testifies, that we make it without Shema Malchus. But it's interesting that the Magen Avraham felt that, no, you should be making this bracha with Shema Malchus. You hear someone dies, you know, that you know, you got to make the bracha. But again, the Arminag is certainly not to. The last halacha, which is an interesting halacha, and that is in source number 17, the Kobo brings, the Uminag Lishpoch Kol Maim She'uvin She'beshchunah. So very interesting halacha. That in the shchuna, in the neighborhood, and you know, we have to see exactly how to define the neighborhood. We'll just take one more minute, but you pour out any water that has been drawn, and we don't draw water nowadays. But any water that's sitting around, you have to pour out the water. Okay. Now, what exactly is included in this? You know, things. What about things in bottles that are sealed? Do you have to spill them? It seems like not. You know, but if you have any open water, you're supposed to spill the water out. And it's also a question, how do you define the shchuna? So it's even the houses nearby, let's say a person dies in a house, so it seems like at least the house on either side of that house is included in the shchuna, okay? And more than that, maybe not. There's a whole question about what do you do about apartment buildings, you know, whether, you know, there are houses, you know, there are apartments on top and on the bottom, you know, how do you treat that? There's a lot of interesting discussion about this. The reasons for this, the Kobo writes, two reasons. He says, because you want to inform other people that the person was nifter, but you don't want to have to say it. So here, if you go around, you come out of the house, and you walk to the house next door, and you spill out the water, everybody sees, and they recognize, oh, okay, you know, someone was nifter in that house.
The Yemotzi Diba, Sha'alav Amar HaKosuf.
Yeah, so I think, I don't know exactly, I don't know.
I've only seen it done in a house where there was a mace, and I never saw it.
Right.
To a neighbor and say, listen,
yeah, I mean, well, it has to be a frum neighbor also. You can't like knock on someone's door, you know, like, oh, you should neighbor, and knock on the door and just ask.
It has nothing to do with disease. Like,
nothing to do with disease. No. But it's either that. The other answer he brings, the other explanation, v'yesh omrim, ki atam lefi shemalach hamoves mapil b'mayim tipas dam hamoves. He says the malach hamoves messes around with the water nearby. So, you know, maybe that has to do more with maybe disease and people's perception of it. But that's another reason. The Tashbeitz in source number 18, quoted by the Shach, says that he saw once Tashbeitz Kasuf Rabbe Echa Sheshasa Me'amayim Umeis. He saw a person once drink the water right after a person died, and the guy just went over and took a drink, and then he dropped dead. So that's the Tashbeitz, you know, testifying about that. But again, this it's a minhag. And you know, and certainly we don't start, I don't know about the minhag about next door, but certainly we don't start going around the neighborhood spilling out people's water. But it's just an interesting minhag. These are some of the minhagim, and Mitzvah Hashem, next week we'll talk about Levaya, and then that'll probably end off the series.